On first Sundays, we do several things a little different on the other Sundays, and they're all great things. I love the fact that I get the time with the kids. I love the fact that I get an opportunity to speak a word of blessing into you and anoint your head with oil if you choose to do that. We have an opportunity to gather and break bread and commune together in fellowship, in community. I love that. We have an opportunity for you to come to the Lord's table and take the bread and the wine or the grape juice as symbolisms of this thing that we call communion. And that's what I want to talk about just for a moment, a little bit historically and otherwise, about this ritual of communion, bread and wine, bread and wine, bread and wine. This Christian tradition called several names, depending on the tradition. It's sometimes called communion, sometimes called the Lord's Supper. It's sometimes called the Eucharist. It's sometimes called the Mass. It's sometimes called the communion table. There's a lot of different names for it, but it all centers around bread and wine. And why bread and wine? Because it goes back literally to the hands of Jesus on his last night before he was arrested and then crucified. He celebrates a meal, a Pesach, a Paschal meal, a Passover meal with his disciples, a very deeply entrenched and rooted and important, significant holiday that they gave remembrance to the deliverance from slavery in Egypt and the sojourn towards the land flowing with milk and honey. So out of bondage into freedom, that is the Exodus story, that is the Jewish story. And it always looms large in the background of whatever you're looking at in scriptures of any sort relating to Judaism in that sense or the Gospels. Always that story. Bondage to freedom. Bondage to freedom. And the central figure of who brings us on this journey is Jesus. Jesus leads us on this journey from bondage as human beings to freedom as human beings. So the word, the ancient tradition was that Jesus took at that Last Supper, sometimes you've heard it there, he took the bread from what was the Passover meal and he blessed it, he broke it, he blessed God and broke the bread and passed it out and he told his disciples, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then he took the cup of wine, they drink four cups of wine traditionally throughout the Seder meal, and he said, this is my blood, which is poured out for you for this new covenant, this new relationship, this new reality in existence. So we often use broken and poured out as a metaphor of what takes place when we celebrate the Eucharist. Now, the word Eucharist is my favorite because it's a Greek word, compound word, and it's eucharis. Eu means good, and charis means gift, sometimes translated grace. Charis is root word to charity, benevolence, the good grace, the good gift, the good benevolence. That's what is symbolized in the body and the blood of Jesus. The Christians have come to hold that Jesus is the good gift to humanity, to the world. That this is what God looks like under pressure. A lot of people have this Janus image of God, this God is this, you know, and even in Christendom, like you got God the Father, and he's just angry. Then you got Jesus, who calms him down on your behalf. You know, that's his job, to calm down the angry dad. And you get this duality. And yet the scriptures testify over and over again, and Jesus said it over and over again, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm in the Father, the Father. When you see Jesus, you see how God really is. And what you see on this broken body and this poured out blood, which is also referring ultimately to his death, his crucifixion, is this is how God responds to bad people, to evil in the world. And he doesn't fire lightning bolts out of his eyes from the cross and annihilate all the Romans or those that were, you know, talking smack to him. In fact, he absorbs it. And he transfers it into a blessing. He just takes the pain, and then he even blesses and says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. They just don't know what they're doing. And I often think that is the greatest prayer I've ever heard for myself and all of humanity. How often do we flip on the TV channel and we just go like, what are they doing? You know, they just, do they even know what they're doing? This is just crazy. And this is a God who absorbs and transforms sin. This is kind of like the bubble bursting, but Jesus becomes that bubble maker. He's gonna put out more blessing, and he's gonna lead us as human beings, as creation, onto this path of righteousness for his namesake, onto this path of what it really means to be human. He is the good gift to us. He is the plumb line to like, oh, I've drifted off the path. I've gone here. I've gone there. I'm in the deep weeds. I got to get back, because this is what it really means to live free, to live beautifully, and to live in my full form of humanity as God created me. So once a month, we come to this table, and it's a time for us to just kind of like, whoa, get a wheel alignment, you know, in our lives, because we're drifting, we're pulling to the right always, we're wearing out, we need some alignment, and this is what it is. And this alignment comes through this idea of understanding the goodness and the love and the grace and the gift of God to us, that God is for us, that he loves us, that he's with us, that he sits with us in our pain. This is a really radical concept. This is not, in my opinion, oh, we need to look at Jesus, his body was broke and his blood poured out because God smashed him and broke him and bled him out because that's what God wanted to do to me, but he did it to Jesus. But no. This is this beautiful sacrifice of self-sacrifice, of absorption and return into something good and beautiful. That's what happens with forgiveness. That's what happens in our lives when we live out the teachings of Jesus. We take these ugly things and we transform them and we push them into beauty. This is where when we find the path with Jesus, we whether it's like in work, we're like this horrible work situation or a horrible relationship where people have wronged us and we have this one way we want to deal with it. And then Jesus says, go this way. And when we really enter into it, we find out, oh, this is a better way. This is the real way. This is the way of freedom and release, not bitterness, anger, and weight on my back. This is the teachings of Jesus. This is the good gift. But here's the deal. St. Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says about this Jesus being the good gift and this thing that we take communion. And communion was initially the Eucharist. The good gift was celebrated with a meal, a real meal for real hungry people. And it was the theology was actual food. Like people were starving and they got food. And it's like, oh my God, there's something actually tangible to this. And Paul writes this, he says, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? So Paul and the ancient theologians and teachers and followers of Jesus made it clear that we take communion, but we are, in other words, we participate in what is the Eucharist in recognizing the good gift of God's love and mercy and grace towards us, his healing, his desire for restoration and renewal in the world. But we are also that Eucharist. Understand that each and every one of you in this room is a good gift to the world. I don't care what anybody else has told you. I don't care what you've experienced. I don't care how you've put down. I don't care how you've messed up. This is the beauty. This is the good gift that is God and his grace and his forgiveness of saying it's never too late. You know, you're not going to get a second chance. You're going to get a 332nd chance because you've blown it that many times. But it's never too late to turn a lying, as we said in last week, to Shuva, to return and to realize that not only is God a good gift to us, we are a good gift from God. You're all made and you're all special with talents and aptitudes and hearts and struggles and seasons. Like I said, sometimes you're in the full-blown season. This is it. And when you're a good gift in the world, when you're walking in the vein of Jesus, let's talk about what a gift is. A gift is, generally speaking, somebody else's selflessness or sacrifice. You know, Diane says, "Oh, I love music," right? Well, that's a gift to us. Music lifts my heart. But it didn't just happen. It didn't just fall out of the sky. I mean, I have musicians in the home. I watch what it takes to be able to play the guitar like Bill does. You know, I think, you know, to have all the, just Josh didn't just like walk in and like, I'm instantly a great drummer. It's like, oh my God, it's because he plays the piano and he plays the, you know, everything. So, and he practices, right? When something inspires you, I read a good book and I'm just like, wow, that was an inspiration. That's a great word, inspiration. It means spirit put into you. That a spirit was breathed into you. Inspiration means a spirit breathed into you. That, well, somebody breathed out so that we could be breathed into. So if somebody writes a great book, let me tell you, I know some writers. It didn't just happen. It is writes and rewrites and hours and the typewriter and the this and writer's block and going on and editors and editorials and experiencing and researching. It's all these things. There's a whole ton of effort that ends up with me buying a book for $5.99 going like, oh my God, that just really moved me. And that's kind of the nature of a gift. The gift of God's love and mercy towards us is in itself a emptying of himself. It is, in fact, Jesus dying on the cross, is his forgiveness is that he actually had something to forgive when he said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He actually had to give something up, retaliation, you know, revenge, this, that. The good gifts that come into our life are always at the expense of somebody giving it. And the same is true for us. Listen, Eucharist. Good. If you're a mom raising a child, you're like Eucharist 24/7. You know, mom's jobs never end. Parenting. If you're a businessman and you run a company and you get up and you, you know, and I know people who own businesses and they. And a lot of people don't realize that. Even sometimes the disgruntled employee doesn't realize that often the owner of the business is like up in the middle of the night worrying about making payroll and keeping people on staff. And it's not just like, oh, we just cruise. No, I mean, there's some people like that, but the vast majority of everybody I know, then there's not one that exists like that. They care deeply and they expend themselves. And they are often broken and poured out. Teachers in schools, my God, how many great teachers have we had through our life for our kids that you caught them. And sometimes, because you know what, when you're broken and you're poured out, a lot of times you get exhausted. You get exhausted as a business owner. You get exhausted as a parent. You get exhausted as a teacher. You get exhausted as a pastor. There is that rhythm. When you break and you pour yourself out for somebody, when you're that good gift to somebody else, it takes something out of you. And if you're walking in a rhythm with Jesus, that's the way you do it. You do this. There are times as well where you need to retreat and fill up because you can only pour out so much blood before you're empty. You know, you got nothing left to give. There are times where we have to, you know, and that's why I believe so importantly the Sabbath, this day, even coming together to join together to try to like, hey, you know what? I know a lot of you are in here are tired. Woo! You have expended yourself emotionally. You've expended yourself physically. You've expended yourself financially, and because you're a good gift. I think about my dad, just growing up as any kid. You know, I look back to those days. Like I said, my dad. I didn't see my dad a lot, but it wasn't like I didn't understand. Thank God to my mom that I was sitting having a meal. In a house, going to my bed in my bedroom, because my dad was busting his ass all week long. That's what he was doing. He was the good gift. He was breaking and pouring himself out for the betterment of his family. That is Eucharist. That is good gift. And there were times where Dad needed a break, or my mom would be like, hey, you know, okay, I need a, Dad, I need this, I want that, can you do it? He needs, pump the brakes a little, okay? And that's what we have to be for each other. We have to be a break. We have to be a governor. We have to say, hey, you know, take some time off. Enjoy the weekend. You don't have to do it all the time because we need those breaks. But we are called to that life. We are called to this beautiful life. And it is a beautiful life. Broken and poured out for the goodness of the world. That is the bubble making that we do. That is Jesus' message to us and to his followers. Is that, yeah, it's a rough world. And to make it better, there's going to be some breaking. And there's going to be some pouring out. And you need to do that. It makes the world a better place. And you also need to recharge your batteries. Often when Jesus was so poured out, so funny because the people kept coming and kept coming. He would withdraw. He would go away for a while. He would just withdraw to a lonely place and get by himself. It's totally necessary. It's not the American way. You know, if people keep coming, what do? Well, let's add a second service. Well, let's just keep working. Well, let's keep the store open longer hours. Well, let's just go from 5 days a week to six. Well, screw it. We should go seven because that's what we do. You go, go, go. We just got to keep. No. We need those times to, and we need to align. So this is a day of alignment for us. And we do that whether you partake or whether you eat a meal with us, whether you come up to be anointed or whether you're simply present, you are a part of the good gift, and you're realigning yourself, and you're remembering that you also are a good gift, that God is a good gift to you. He loves you. He's there for you, and you are a good gift from God to the world. Walk in such a manner, and that means a lot of times you're going to be broken and poured out. That's okay, and that's what we're here to refresh each other and encourage each other and cheer each other on, right? So as we come to this time of devotion and time of meditation, you can just chill. You can sit where you're at. You can close your eyes. I'd love some music if I can, anything. And then I invite you to do another couple of things. Again, afterwards, we're going to have communion. And if you stay for a bite to eat, you're communing with us and with God. On that side is communion plates that have two stacked little cups, one with a chip of bread and one with a grape juice underneath it. You can grab those as those symbols. Again, those are symbols of the brokenness and the pouring out. Over here, I'm going to have, who am I going to have? Brady, will you administer communion on this side? Your wife is, both Melanie, if you want to come, both of you, that'd be really beautiful, actually. And that there's wine and matzah that you can dip in, and I'll be anointing you as well here. So let me just say a word of closing thought and prayer. God, thank you for this time, the beauty of coming into union with each other and with you. Thank you for being broken and poured out for us in your amazing love and grace. Thank you for reminding us that we too are Eucharists. We are good gifts to the world, and we partake in its healing and reparation and restoration. And Lord, that means that we at times have to break and pour ourselves out. And that is a good thing to do for the world. It is a selfless thing. It's a beautiful thing. And it's also a thing that we have to be aware of, that sometimes we can be poured out to empty, and we need to stop, and we need to refresh, and we need to refresh each other. And I pray that this place is always a place of refreshing for people out in the world that come in after a very busy week of all kinds of things, all kinds of bubbles, some being made and some busting. But we come together, we restore in your presence each other. We share food, we share joy and laughter, we share love. We come into union because you are the good gift to us, the Eucharist. Amen.